up top, we're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top, we're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. We are now edging towards the halfway point of the season, and Bohemians have still yet to draw a game. I thought we might have got a goal there towards the end of Friday night's action, but it was not to be. However, I'm happy to be joined this week by Europa League celebrator still. I think he's still going to the pub these days after Thursday, are you? Or last Wednesday, Hopkins?
Oh, happy days. Happy days. A long time coming.
Yeah, and Pete, I suppose you're on the other end of that.
Pass on that one, yeah. No, I was delighted for Spurs. Spurs are my second team at that level. I do have a soft spot for Spurs, so I was happy for Spurs. It wasn't going to be United. I was happy with Spurs and not in Liverpool or one of the others. But yeah, no, well done, Spurs.
I'll hand it to Mr. Sinner. He's always been a good winner and a good loser, so fair play to him.
Mostly a good loser now, but yeah.
Suppose, man, you'll have to carry me through this as myself and Mr. Gunners were out till all hours this morning after the gig last night in town. There was a drum on stage, but I have a few things to say about drums. But
we'll get to the drum at some stage, yeah. High up on the agenda is the drum, yeah. We'll get to the drum, yeah.
It's on Johnny Lennon's outlist.
I used to drink in a pub in Manchester called The Drum. It was the best pub I was ever in my life, just on the way out in Stretford. Oh, it was a glorious pub. You couldn't describe this place. It was just absolutely wild. And I used to have a few pints in there. I always dream of going back. I think it's the McDonald's drive through now. But The Drum in Stretford, if you ever get a chance, stick it into YouTube or Google. Absolutely fantastic pub. It's in the shape of a drum, and it was just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
There you go.
Not quite the Bohemian drum, but we moved. Suppose we'll kick off a couple of weeks ago, man, and you know, went into that game against Shelbourne. Tails were wagging, everyone was giddy, you know, a bit of a sense of, you know, stick the blade in Shells here while we have the open days to be not able to buy a win. Got the goal early, got the red card early, made a bit of hard work of it, but suppose, Pete, what did you make of the encounter?
I missed the Shell game. I wasn't there. So I think I tuned in about 25 minutes into the game. I was at one of my kids' matches. But even without the 10 men, we were the better team. We had good intensity about us. Could have had a couple of goals before we scored. And I think we actually got gradually worse as the game came to an end. Like, and then when they went down to 9 men, it's just like panic set in and the long balls into the box, we just weren't able to deal with them. We just created a lot of problems that we shouldn't have done, really. But it was a great 3 points. Great to beat them. And on the back of the previous couple of results, it was even sweeter. But yeah, probably made a little bit hard work of it, but great to get out the other end of it. Like,
yeah, Hopkins, what did you make of the affair?
Yeah, well, look, we bounced into that one after the previous week, and we was up there early. It was a great day, and it was a great. Great buzz around Fizz. There was a real big game energy about the place. Like, there was tourists everywhere and there was Shells fans knocking about and people looking for tickets and ticket touts selling QR codes for 50 quid outside dials and stuff like that, you know. So it was a great day, and then yeah, great energy in the ground, great atmosphere, and I thought we were really good first half. The sending off kind of disrupted us a little bit. I know it got us the goal, it got us the penalty and got us into the lead, but I had a feeling at half time that they'd make it hard for us in the second half. They obviously got into them at half time and they switched it up a bit, and I suppose the crowd got a little bit anxious, and probably until the second red card, that probably killed it then, you know. But no, it was a great win, great 3 points, and on the back of a couple of bad results against them, it was nice to get that one.
Yeah, and I suppose a couple of key talking points in the game were two red cards. I don't think anyone complained about the first one. Second one, the Ali Coote second yellow. I've seen him. I get the point where there's contact, but there's also contact where he's completely dived to try to gain advantage.
I don't think it's a yellow card in a million years. I think that was very harsh. But I don't think it done us any favors in saying that. So, you know, I think we actually got progressively worse with the second yellow, with the second red card. So, in hindsight, it probably didn't, probably wasn't a good thing for us. But I don't think it was a red card. I don't think it was a second yellow. When we watching it on the television, you obviously knew before the crowd knew because he was going for his back pocket. I don't think anyone on the ground knew because it was like a surprise. And you know, when he pulled it, the second yellow out, the place erupted obviously. But we knew from the second that the tackle was made, he was going to be gone. So yeah, no, delighted from as well, Ali Cooch, you know.
Yeah, well, it's one I'd probably listen to Joey O'Brien after the game. Now, he talked a lot of nonsense, but I think he was right on that one. I don't think that's if that's against us now, we wouldn't be happy with that one. And there was one probably a little bit similar with Tierney in the first half where like he didn't give the penalty, but he didn't give a yellow there. So, but Harvey has a tendency to do that. You know, he likes the attention in the big games, and as you say, he gave the impression that he couldn't give that one quick enough, but. Yeah, look, we'll take it. We've had plenty against us down the years, particularly against Shells and some of the derby. So look, we'll take that one. But yeah, it was very harsh. But whether it actually affected the outcome of the game, I don't really think it did, you know.
Yeah, I suppose it's probably hard to sort of even divulge into, but you know, Shells just packed the back. They still kept two up front, which is probably wasn't really expected. We got a few, wouldn't say half chances more so than anything. I know we had I think it was the Rooney volley that Cairns got down very well and saved, but you know, you're just kind of waiting for that second goal to come that never came. And then it's like, as you said, 10 men we managed fine. It's like they went down to 9 men, and it's almost like they all thought, fuck, we definitely can't concede a goal against 9 men. And then it was just
I think
panic stations.
our better chances definitely came in the first half, and the better move came when it was 11v11. Like I'm sure of that. But I just think the game lost any sense of flow in the second half. They kind of went long with it. They went direct. And yeah, it was just a bit of panic. But other than that, we saw it out, you know, well. And yeah, brilliant 3 points.
I think some of that both team would have played in the that Finn Harps game. Was it 2 or 3 years back where we played against nine and we blew a 2-0 lead, so I'd say there was a
Yeah,
few of them that were involved in that, and
yeah. I was thinking of that as the game was going on, actually. Yeah,
was probably in the back of the head, you know. So
I completely gotten rid of that out of my memory.
I think that was a lot long stat that really finished long off that night.
the things were, yeah. I think that was coming towards the end that night, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose then we rocked down to Drogheda last week. P, we had the VIP view from the home end. I think Hopkins, you were up there
Fantastic.
as well.
What a setup. What an absolute fantastic setup, yeah. You wouldn't mind losing every week if you had that setup and you could watch it from the bar, would
Yeah, we could probably see more of the match than we do now anyway.
you? Yeah. I mean, that's what the new Daily Mount needs. Not for the likes of myself, but you know, but for some of the lads that like to take a pint at half time, if they're coming late coming out, they can watch a little bit of the second half or a little bit of the first half in the bar. It's a fantastic facility.
Yeah, I think
Yeah,
we'll
it
be.
is a great setup. It's always a good ground to visit, actually.
Yeah.
The town, like it's not too far away. Fans are okay. The view in the away end's not great, but we've had some great nights up there. But that set up in the lounge we have there now is top notch, already.
Last game of
Yeah.
the season, we're up there on a Saturday. That could be interesting.
Yeah, be nice.
Saturday late
Saturday
kickoff.
evening or Saturday afternoon game, last game of the season. Yeah, I looked it up today. We were discussing Fridays because of international breaks, or what's it because of? It's because of Halloween. So there you go.
Police can't manage it all.
Yep.
It is, yeah, Saturday last game. I'm not sure if I like that or not now. I'd like to have me 2 days recovery these days after Bohemian Friday.
Yeah, there's a couple of ready-made headlines there, isn't there, for that last game of the season? Fright Night in Drogheda.
Yeah.
Bo's hopes up in smoke.
I suppose a couple of things during that game that we'll touch on. The penalty. I think it was a Stonewall penalty. I think that's one thing you can see the bit of rawness, regretting at times. You think he's got that bit of probably, for the light of a better term, a bit of daftness at times in his play. You know, he likes it, like his likes a pull of a jersey and a swing that you probably do get away with more at this level than you would at the higher level with sort of VAR and stuff like that. But the penalty was a penalty all day long. And I remember even after the first half, you know, it was one of the better first halves, particularly, you know, with the draw of the pitch when you go down there, you're always expecting a scrappy game, just how tight it is. It's normally a little muck barrel. And you're just sort of hoping, you know, you can get that scrape that 1-0 lead out of there. But pitch looks actually relatively in good nick. Probably played very good football first half, but As the old guy's saying, if you don't take your chances.
Yeah, well, look, the penalty, we had a great view of it. Like, I don't think anyone had any disputes about it. It was a stupid one. Like, it's two in the last three games. Like, we did the same in Sligo. We gave away a soft penalty. We got away with that one. But and it's something like the teams that want to win leagues don't give away soft ones like that. You know, we're giving away two and three games there, and like that one. And they're the type of team you don't want to go 1-0 down to draw it. They dig in. It's hard to break them down. It's a very soft penalty for Graham to give away, and yeah, he kind of has that in him, all right. But like, he's a young player, like, he hasn't played a lot of football prior to coming to us. And yeah, he does takes risks, he gives the ball away quite a bit. But the flip side of that, like, some of his passing is excellent, he's a great goal threat, and he kind of builds the play from the back. But we're gonna miss him, all right. But yeah, it was a silly one to give away, and he took the penalty well, Taylor, in fairness to him. And then look. We created plenty of chances to get back into it. We had plenty of chances prior to the goal, and then plenty of chances after it. But same again, Dennison, man of the match against us again. Every time we've played them since he's left, really, really good. Some really good saves. That save from the header in the first half was, I didn't really notice it at the time, but when I saw it in the replay, it was a great save.
Yeah, even the
I had no
one.
idea how good he was. I really didn't have any idea that he was up to that level at all. Like a couple of glimpses he had with ourselves didn't look like he was a goalkeeper at all. But great God, as Ian said, he's been absolutely phenomenal every time he's played us. But not only the saves, like his handling was spot on. You're expecting him to have maybe drop one or two, but everything was clean as a whistle. Really, really good. Even his kicking was fantastic as well. Like just, I don't
Yeah, I think we had him down as some sort of cartoon character when he was with us,
know.
and he never really, and even when the performances were dropping, he never got a look in. I think a couple of Leinster Senior Cup games and maybe an FAI Cup game, that was it. But he's done really well down there. Most clean sheets last season, same again this season. And as you say, it's not just shot stopping, it's distribution. He came for everything the other night, and he just takes the sting out of it then. Like, he likes a bit of time wasting and stuff. But look, yeah, man of the match for me, didn't he? Unfortunately, again against us, probably the second time this season. So, yeah, probably one there. I suppose we're lucky we have two good goalkeepers, but we've probably let a good one go there.
Yeah, it seems it's sort of, but it's in the air. Sorry, as you said, it was very cartoon character. He was just like, you know, someone we sort of laughed at more than with at times, just the old USA chants and whatever like that. But fair play to him. He's come on. He's I don't think he's the worst cunt in the world. I think he was fairly well liked around the squad, and even the fans, Bowles fans, sort of took him. Drogheda fans
Dancing
sort of
after the
took him.
cup final, I don't think they've done many favours. Remember, there was the videos circulating of him dancing after that. The Pat beat us in one of the cup finals.
Him
I think
and
you were
John
dancing on
O'Sullivan
me
on
as
the
well,
stages.
Pete. Yeah.
Yeah, so no, that was Dennison's man of the match performance. All right, a couple of chances throughout the game. Of course, the disallowed goal. I think that was because Clark was behind the keeper, or in line with the keeper, and essentially whoever was behind the goal was deemed out of play. So they seemed to give it as the offside. But Flowers, the ball hadn't gone. If Clark hadn't sort of interfered, I don't even know if he got a touch. But it was hard to see from the replay. But that's what sort of ruled out the goal.
Well, I think the defender behind the line counts as a defender, even though he's behind the line. I just think the linesman didn't see him. I think if you were in a VAR situation there, that goal's okay. You know, the goalkeeper's in front of the play, but there's a defender there, and there's a your man Taylor's behind the line. But in fairness to the linesman, we were level, but I didn't notice that at the time either. But I'd say if you were to go back and, like, you know, in a VAR world, I'd say that's a good goal. I know Reynolds wasn't happy with it after the game, after looking at it back, but probably one we were unlucky with there, I'd say.
Yeah, and then towards the end of the match, I think it was young, the young fella that came at the end. His name has now escaped me. He came
Hugh
on from
Smith.
Hugh Smith, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he came on a great chance at the end. You know,
Great chance.
but had it been, you know, a Whelan, the Moussa, the Voy, the Tierney, you know, anyone but the young fella who's just played his first game, you probably think he puts it either side of the keeper, and we get out there with a point at least at minimum at that time of the match.
And then the follow-up, Jordan, as well. Was it who was with the follow-up?
Was it Rooney or was it Smith
Could have
to
been
Voy? I
Rooney,
think it was
yeah,
Brent.
it
Was it Rooney? Yeah,
was a good chance
you
to
think?
follow.
Yeah, and then Whelan shot off the inside of the post. My days, that would have been some goal as well.
Yeah, like, we've had our chances, and you said it's been night and day probably since the first, whatever it was, 9, 10 games a season. where we couldn't create a chance without the score, and albeit we left out of there with nothing. We're all kind of happy enough with the performances and how it's going. And we can see if you play like that more times than that, you're going to come away with 3 points.
It's hard to be too disappointed given the run we've been on and given the way we went out. And again, like, I don't think anyone would argue if we had have picked up a point there. I don't think anyone from Drogheda would have begrudged the point there. We were well worth the points. But yeah, the form, like, when you look back on the previous games we've lost, like the Shells game and Talca, the past game, night and day, like, you know what I mean? I was even kind of thinking back to the Drogheda game we lost this time last year. Was played behind closed doors. We were so poor that evening, like, you know, compared to last Friday. So yeah, it's hard to be too disappointed.
Or have you made a
Well,
bit of turnaround, Hopkins? You are a bit of a Reynolds doubt or two.
I suppose I think we all were towards the early part of this season. Like, but you look at, if you take the two Drogheda games, both 1-0 defeats, but chalk and cheese, the two performances. Like, I think everyone came out of Daily Mail that night seething at that performance. Like, the body language, nobody kind of really knew what type of football we were trying to play. It was really slow. Very little, I don't think we did shot on goal all night. We could have been there till midnight and not scored. And I think everyone came out of that game going, look, we're in big trouble here. Like, Drogheda were missing players that night as well, I think, and they it was fairly comfortable for them all night. Whereas Friday, I think, was more frustration. I think we've played much worse than that up there in the last 3 or 4 years in one games. Particularly under Dunfermline, we had a couple of games up there under Dunfermline where they probably battered us and we got the 3 points, or we got draws there. Whereas
Up game.
the opposite there the other
Up
night.
game, man.
I'd say we 2/3 of the possession there on Friday night, and it wasn't just possession for possession's sake. We were creating chances there, and but it's a cutting edge. Cutting edge is a problem. Whelan, he's a good player. I think we all like him, but he's only scored in two games. The Moose is AWOL. He's only scored in one game, and that's
AWOL in general at the moment.
that's our front line. You've got to be you need a striker that's chipping in every second or third game. Like, that guy Taylor's back for Drogheda. You'll see him. He'll start to score goals, and Rovers will have lads that'll score goals. That boy down in Galway is scoring every second game as well. Like, we don't have that. It's probably going to cost us if we don't fix it.
If we had one person that we were to go out on and just put the money on the table for, if he were Moses Dwyer, every time I've seen him, he buddies defenders. You know, I don't think he's not 6 foot 2 or 6 foot 3. You know, he seems to be a bit like a small little pit bull in the front line. Seems to get ahead of every defender, gets his foot and everything. I've seen he has missed a couple of chances, but he's got 8 goals so far in the season. You know, if he doubles that by the time the end of the season, he's probably going to be top scorer by 2 or 3.
Yeah, he's a real handful. Like, I presume, I think he's on a 1-year deal down there. So I don't think anyone's getting him out of there in the July window anyway. But so I'm sure he'll see the season out down there. But yeah, he's a difference maker, all right. He's caused us a lot of grief in both games. I think he's causing everyone trouble.
Yeah, so we didn't get anything out of Drogheda. It was unfortunate overall, but we'll go again this Friday, coming Friday. But I suppose I'll just talk about the league wide at the minute. I suppose it's like Rovers being top of the table is like a cat up a tree. You just don't see it coming down anytime soon.
Yeah, look, it's like the beaten Pats and Derry was kind of, look, everyone was kind of saying they're motoring now. Like, they'd beaten Waterford, Sligo. Prior to that, they hadn't been great. Like, I think they'd only won 2-7 or 2-8 before that, but they've gone and won, what, 4 or 5 in a row now. And going up to Derry and getting a win up there was huge. Like, I think 1-0 down as well. So, and beating Pats so convincingly. I know Pats are struggling at the minute, but they're two kind of big wins that you kind of say, yeah, you must have something about you if you're picking those two results out. And the squad, the players they're bringing on the bench as well. I mean, if they can keep everyone fit, you'd imagine they'll go the distance. But it's like on Friday we were talking about Rovers and Derry, and I suppose people were getting giddy when Derry are winning. Like, I'm nearly gone the other way on it. You nearly want Rovers to beat everyone around them and let Rovers take points off everybody, and we'd all wrap it out for the European places. Because I think ultimately that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a European place. So the more points the Pat, the Shells, the Derry, you know, more points they drop, even if it's at the hand of the Rovers, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I don't think they've dropped a point since we beat them, have they? I think they've won all the games since then.
Yeah, 5 in a row, is it?
Yeah, so Like, I looked at them earlier in the season, and they looked like they were missing an out and out goal scorer. They have Noonan there now. He's very young, and but look, they've goals from all over the pitch. They've like Bourke looks like he's back in form as well. So yeah, it's fairly ominous for the league, I suppose. But look, they still have Europe to come. They've Europe to come in a month or two. Well, look, they've shown they can navigate that in the past, so I don't think they'll be too worried about that. I think you might see a drop off from Chelsea and Drogheda and teams like that when the World comes around. So hopefully that might help us out.
I think the benefit of Rovers as well, well, maybe not the benefit they would have wanted, but they won't be going through the Champions League pathway. They'll be guaranteed whatever, 4 6 games. They're probably going to go out in the second or third round if they're going to the, I'm not sure if they're going to the first round qualifiers. I don't think any team's made it
Yeah.
from the first round qualifiers to the group stage, so they're probably looking at themselves and be realistic. They'll probably get to two, probably max.
Yeah, true. I was just about to say the same, Jordan. Last year, you know, Rovers probably the European run probably cost them. But if you look at Pats in Europe last year, they got their 2 or 3 games in Europe and probably gave them the confidence and a bit of a kick to really go on and have a strong finish to the season. And didn't get, you know, too many games rescheduled. Had a good couple of results in Europe and it kind of knitted them together a little bit. So you'd imagine that could happen with Rovers as well. They won't be overrun with games. They won't be playing the 10, 12, 14 games. They'll probably get, as you said, 6 games in it. That'll be them done, and then they'll have a clear run of it between then and the end of the season.
Yeah, I just hope as well during that European time that they get a strong league team away in the cup. So hopefully they'll be knocked out of
Yeah,
it.
exactly.
That's
That's
always the benefit.
yeah. Pats have fallen out of the cup. I think who else? A couple of teams have fallen out of the cup that have been in Europe over the last couple of years, and that's what you want again, isn't it? You want the European teams either getting each other or getting a strong team away from home and falling out early doors.
Yeah. And I suppose we'll drop down to just the team you touched on there with Stephen Kenny's Pats. I don't know, it just doesn't seem to be clicking. I know you said that the confidence came off the back of the European games last year, but at the same time, was it a Pats team that had nothing to lose, nothing to play for? It's like, ah, we get Europe, it's a plus. Everything's just free-flowing football now. There's a bit of pressure on, there's a bit of eyes around things. You know,
Yeah.
Kenny's like, you expected to hit the ground running. Are they just falling under that pressure?
I listened to well, I saw them on social media, some of Roddy's comments from the they were I think they were live on telly on Friday against Waterford, and now you have to listen to a lot of nonsense from Roddy to listen to a few nuggets of truth, but like I think he's right when he says that Pat's team are smelling themselves a bit. I think like they have some good players in there. They've a really good manager. But they maybe not working hard enough, you know. That's the point he's making. You know, they're not working hard enough, and they're just expecting to turn up and beat teams like Waterford and Cork and stuff like that. But doesn't happen now. There's no handy ones anymore. You know, you've got to get out there and scrap for everything. And it probably, and reading some of the Pat stuff online, I don't think the fans think they're getting it from the players out there at the minute. The music isn't great, but look, they've a great squad, and it'll only take two or three wins in the spin. Forrester will be back in there now. He's been injured. I think he's only back. I don't know if he played Friday, but he's been out for a couple of weeks, missing a couple of players. I think if probably anyone's capable of putting up their overs this year, it's going to be them. But they'll have to start stringing a few wins together.
I remember I was checking the table at half time on Friday and Pats were second, and I was like, how has this happened? It feels like they haven't won in weeks and that they've been just in decline. But at half time, whatever way the results were, or 20 minutes of the game, I can't remember what it was, Pats were second. I was like, it feels like they haven't won a game in weeks and weeks, and we've been on the rise and we're still sort of laying fifth at the moment. And with another European challenger we have there, of course, we go from coming up the Wimbledon now, not exactly Henman Hill, but Duffer Hill and behind the shed hand and Daily Mount. It was a bit of a, I remember we were all seeing at the time, and I remember standing beside a unnamed board member. I said, where's Duffer? Is he up in the gantry or what's he up to? And he goes, I said, no, he's behind down the shed end. What do you mean he's down the shed end? And he goes, did he have to stand there? And he goes, no, he wanted to stand there. So he goes, where could he have went? And he goes, anywhere he wanted. It was his own decision to make. And you know, personally, I thought, you know what Duffer's like, he loves to have the camera on in the box office. I think he thought that would have been a, you know, they would have got a goal. He would have looked, thought it would have been brilliant, him on the hill celebrating, giving it the big one to the fans in the away end. And I think he thought this was a bit of a meme moment. Sort of came back to bite him in the arse when everyone's laughing at the clown on the bleeding 20 degrees outside. He's wearing a flasher's coat and a mask, trying to hide away.
Seat in section A from now.
No, there wasn't. No, he would have been more than welcome to sit beside us, I suppose. What
Well,
about Luke?
Duffarnell's had to play the media, you know. That's like if they'd have won that game and got a draw, there'd have been no mention of that. If it was like they got beaten, and it's a bit of, I think, a bit of deflection tactics there. The story wasn't Shell's going another game without a win. The story was, look, oh, an overgrown hill behind the goal in Dalry Mount. But like as you say, he could have gone anywhere in the ground. He could have gone up the TV gantry. He could have gone into the stand. And look, let's not forget, like if he didn't behave like a gobshite on the touchline every week, he wouldn't be suspended. Like
Yeah, they'd be in the dugout.
he'd be in the dugout where he should be. But he doesn't know how to behave on the sideline. And yeah, I think just your man in Drogheda is worse. Doherty, I don't know how he's not suspended every week. He spends
The whole game on Friday was just in
the
the ear
entire
the fourth
game,
official.
and he's like I've like Drogheda are local enough to me. I'd go over and watch them if Bowes aren't playing. And it's every game. It's not just big games or Bowes games. That they're every single game. I don't know how the fourth officials tolerate it. I don't know how he's not sent off more often. I
I mean,
know.
it's a block last year. He was up to it. He's had it with Bradley. He's had it with he actually he backed off from Bradley last week, I think, after Bradley had a chirp at them. But yeah, like, and then you hear him on being interviewed. He's an absolute gentleman. But yeah, he's like a monkey on the sideline. Unbelievable.
I thought it was bizarre after the match. I remember I was looking out at it, and I just seen this figure sprinting across the pitch, like sprinting across the pitch, arms out, like nothing short of jumping up and down. Ran over to the draw the ultras and went, "That's fucking dirty." The funny of us went, and he just went sprinting straight
Yeah.
across to give it up. And I was like, "I can understand how it's a cup semi final, and you know you've gotten over the line, cup semi final, you beat Bowls, whatever like that." But like taking 3 points in a league game in the middle of May, what are you doing sprinting across the pitch like a fucking wild animal for? Like the fucking there's nothing won tonight, and there's certainly nothing lost. Then of course we see.
I think he's got a bit of a siege mentality going up there, and probably with justification, he probably feels they haven't got really the credit that they deserve. Like they've had a good year, they won the cup, they started the league. I think they've only lost two or three games, three maybe it's four. But I think he kind of felt they were getting written off already, and I suppose it was a big win for them. But like that, he just charged across the pitch. He didn't approach the opposition bench to shake hands, and then. Depending on which version of the story you hear, there was words exchanged then at the halfway line with him and Reynolds about
You're
perhaps
coming for my
about
job
job
last
chasing.
year.
From his job last
I
year,
could have had it if I wanted
yeah. Ah, great
it.
response, in fairness.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. You can't get him now. He's nailed on now. Used to be a wanker, but he's all right now.
Yeah. But there was even then, I remember after Doherty was still going mad, and there's a video, and you can just see Adam Reynolds turning with a little grin on his face, as if to say, after winding him up as he was walking away. Also, there probably is a bit of a maybe not a love towards Reynolds towards some people, but there's definitely a bit more of a buy-in from the fan base to what he's trying to do. And when he is seems to be getting a little bit more on side, and I do sort of like that bit of a prick to other people and other managers and that. And you know, you do like that siege mentality yourself. But is he starting
We
to get
know
us all
as a
upset?
player, yeah. Well, we know as from him playing against him, he's a nasty little piece of work, Reynolds, when he wants to be. So, if he can bring a bit of that and introduce a bit of that into our team, more power to him. I've for a long time we've been too soft, but the Gales game was the first time we a couple of late tackles went in, couple of little bits left on tackles that were really good to see, slowing the game up a little bit as well. So yeah, we need more of that to get wins when games are tight like that. So. It's important.
Yeah, I think you're right. We've probably been a little nice for quite a while now under a couple of different managers. You know, there's been that impression that Bowes are a bit soft and a bit nice, and there's a little bit more of
Yeah.
it now. There seems to be a bit more niggle. I saw Rooney have a goal, a couple of their players at the end of the game as well that came straight over to celebrate in front of the Bowes fans at the final whistle. And I think Rooney got stuck into them, Kane and the centre half. So, like, yeah, it's the same. Look. I think we've all had our say on Reynolds at this stage, but like it's fair to say that the players are bought in, and there's fan boy in there now as well. So like, you get that, and you have the players on the pitch, then you're not in a bad position. But Yeah, he's probably there's a few people that had written them off.
I don't think
Probably
there's many. I don't think there was many left. I thought there was a day left in them.
It was hard to defend towards the end, or towards probably 4 or 5 games into the season there. It was getting hard to defend it, and I'd been always been an advocate to give him a bit of time, and but it was getting hard to defend, like the performances, everything, everything coming out of the club. It didn't, but look, a few wins changes it, and good wins and big games, and playing decent football. That's so, like, when you get that, you can lose the odd game without losing the crowd. Then, you lose Friday night, you get clapped off the pitch. Like, we could possibly lose again Friday. I don't think anyone's gonna boot him off the pitch again Friday. Like, so he's bought some time. He has some buy-in now with the fans, and hopefully we can rock on.
I'm genuinely looking forward to the match on Friday. This is a fixture that I would have been losing sleep over 3 months ago, and I'm absolutely dying for it. I can't wait for Friday. Friday can't come quick enough now. Like, Derry at home, our eternal fucking nemesis, like, in terms of getting 3 points again to play. I think we'll go and beat Derry on Friday. And we should be looking to beat them,
I was just thinking today, there, Pete, when I was sort of doing my catalogue of what I want to talk about, and I was just thinking, I'd love to know, since I started going around 2000, like full time, 2010, 2011, how many times you've beaten them at home in the league. I'd say it's probably less than six.
We
I
had an
can't.
absolutely shocking record against them. I think Long went and bet them 3 times in 1 season, or had a clean sweep against them. I think then the next year they'd done the clean sweep on us, and like they've just beaten us for fun over the years. If it's 1 in 4, I'd say we'd be doing well against them. Like,
Yeah,
but
I
even
can't
it,
remember too many. Can't
specifically
remember too
home,
many.
I all the ones I recall us beating them was in Derry. I can't.
Yeah.
There's probably less than 5, possibly 6. Max,
I
I'd say, in the
think
last 15 years we've beaten them at home. Probably playing them twice for the last 7 years.
one of our
Total.
very few home wins last year was against Derry early in the season, I think. I think we
That's
beat
right.
them.
Yeah.
Rooney
That's right.
scored.
Yeah.
But look, yeah, there's like down the years, even really good Bowls teams have always struggled against Derry. They just it's a ground they like coming to. They've always no, I haven't seen them. I've only seen Derry against us, and we were both terrible early in the season, and I only saw that on LOI TV. Haven't seen much of them, but by all accounts, they're playing some nice stuff now. They've turned a bit of a corner there. Probably some of their fans were a bit like ours early in the season, going like, what's the game plan here? They weren't getting results. They weren't playing well, but they've strung a few results together. And from the match reports on Friday, they were on top against Rovers for a long spell, and then they got the lead. And then if they'd have won Friday now, if they had won last Friday, they would have been there. Right in the mix, but yeah, it'll be a tough one. I don't think I'm ever confident playing Derry, but yeah, looking forward to
We're
it.
level on points with them. 17 games played. They have a goal difference of 2. We have a goal difference of 1. So at the end of the night, we could be either 3 points ahead of them or 3 points behind them.
We definitely won't be level.
Definitely won't be. Yeah. Rather have Waterford away. That would be a very tricky game for them. So.
Do we want to try this? Can we see Waterford last, and another turn around? They've gotten a couple of heavy defeat there the last couple of games.
But
You
Waterford,
might.
Rather 7 points ahead of Waterford, so that's a big turnaround there. So you'd be looking at a Waterford win there, us to beat Derry, and the Rovers got Friday.
Rovers have Galway
Home
at
to
home.
Galway, that
I
won't be
imagine
easy.
that's a. That, not sure the way Galway are playing at the moment. I think that's nearly a given now.
Yeah, you fancy Rovers against anyone at the minute, but
Sligo at home to Pats have won. I don't think they've won an away game this year. I think they've only got a couple of away, maybe two away wins. Maybe there's two away wins this year. But I know the outcry is being they can't pick a point up at home, away from home.
yeah, that's probably a
But
big one for Pats. It's probably one of these ones where they're probably on a bit of a. Could go one way or the other for them over there at the minute. So, that's one that if they were to lose it now,
the real pressure down, yeah.
and Kenny, look, I think we know ourselves from his time at Bowes. He doesn't handle pressure too well when it comes on top. When things are going well, he's the best in the world. But when the pressure comes on, it can turn quickly with Kenny. So, they don't want to be losing down there on Saturday or Friday, whenever it is. I think
Yeah.
I see the keeper was picked for international duty as well, and Aang,
Yeah.
so they won't have him for the weekend. I don't know who their sub keeper is, but that won't help. He's a good keeper, him.
He defies the stereotype, but he is a good keeper.
No, he is. He's very good. His shot stopping is good. He has the odd mistake in him, but sure, don't we all?
Yeah, I can
Even
see.
us.
I can see.
Then the Fairweather Derby in Cork and Shells, the Fairweather Fan Derby.
Yeah, I seen a talk a couple of weeks ago on the Monday night. I know the Monday night the crowd seems to drop, but there seems to be a reoccurring theme I've copped with the Shelbourne home games on a Friday. There's only a few tickets left on Thursday, and then they just happen to sell out 10 minutes before the match on Friday. But there seems to be plenty of space around Talca for everyone. It's they seem to be just to put up the sold out signs with plenty of bums waiting to go around.
They were upset with the European games being moved to a Monday a couple of weeks ago. I mean, this time last year when the games were moved and they were getting, 6, 9, 11 point leads or whatever they were getting ahead, there was no problem with them. But just because they're not winning the games now, they're all upset. And there's another European game brought forward next week, I think. I think they've Pats on the Monday. So if they lose that, the whinging that'll come out of them about the games that move forward. Just hard to listen to.
Yeah, but I suppose it's a bit of a an enjoyable listen for us at the same time. You
Yeah,
know,
absolutely.
anyone's there suffering and the robber suffering is our pleasure. And we'll take that in. But I suppose how we finding this season's going so far. What do we think is going to be the European places? I know there's plenty of football and anything can happen and there's a transfer window to come up with, but I think we're all, a bit cocky and a bit maybe not cocky but confident now that we can definitely string a good challenge and there's no reason why we can't break into that top four.
I think the bottom two are probably the bottom two now at this stage. But I think anyone above that will think to themselves, look, if we can put a few results together, Europe's not out of the question here. Everybody in that, again, probably top eight will be looking at the cup, going, we get a draw there, we can have a run at that. There's probably all those teams in that bracket are all like from Galway all the way up will be thinking, look, two or three wins. I think everyone's been in the top two at some stage this season. Everyone like Galway, Drogheda, ourselves, Derry, like everyone's been up and around it. So, like, how will it go? Like, you'd imagine the way things are looking, Rovers will probably lead now, and whether Pats can get a bit of momentum going and challenge them. But you'd like to think that we'll be strong contenders there in there with that group that'll be looking for third and fourth. Ourselves and Derry, Shells are still capable of putting a few wins together and getting in there, draw that. There's like just.
That's right. The Shells thing, I think Shells could be the one that drops outside the top four. I know it was Pats last year. Sorry, Derry got the top four as well, but they were knocked obviously out by drawing in the cup. That's always another worry you have to take into the things as well. There's, the cup winner could be anywhere from, probably fourth to eighth, really.
Yeah, there's no guarantee Forth will do it this year,
Like, there's no
so
guarantee. There's probably
yeah.
50%. Given that the top four are in Europe and there's a chance they could get knocked out around that fourth draw time, there's that increase in the chance of someone outside the top four winning the cup. So there's definitely no guarantee. But I think when you're looking at that, I think Shells are the ones that are going to drop outside that top four. You can always still expect Kenny's team to pull a run together. I think Shells aren't going to be used to this busyness now. They'll have a Champions League game. The likelihood is they aren't going to win that. They're going to be dumped out and they'll be into the next round of the Europa League. Like, even if they got through that round there, they probably need another round or two to go before a playoff. So I think that could catch up with them. I don't think Duff is a squad there. Sean Boyd, as good as he is, and much he's tormented us, he's a sick note every season. He's guaranteed to be missing 10 to 20 games nearly. Meepo doesn't seem to be hitting the ground goals wise. Although I think if he does start scoring, he's going to be a serious player for the league. But I think Shells are going to be the ones that are going to drop outside that top four of anyone.
I think when you look at the squads on paper, now the spinning plates here will be whether squads are added to in the summer, or how Europe goes. But Derry with no Europe, you'd imagine Rovers be top. I'd be looking at probably Rovers, Derry, and Pats in the top three, and between ourselves, Shells, and possibly Galway then for that fourth spot. But I just wouldn't fancy us going head to head with Shells. They just have this uncanny ability to be able to grind out draws when it really, really matters. But that's why I just think it's important now that we keep getting as many wins on the board as we can. while we're in good form and when the other teams start to be stuttering a little bit, our game in hand is a home to Galway in a couple of weeks' time when the other boys are in Europe. So again, that'd be another great chance. If we can stay in touch, you know, similar to where we are at the minute, then have that game in hand against Galway, that could be a huge night to get 3 points above or 3 points on the rest of the European competitors.
Yeah, that'd be a 3 point gain. Well, 2 points, I suppose, on Drogheda and Shells. 3 points on Pats, given they missed the game. I think the next
Yeah.
European Monday night game is it this day next week?
Next week, Shells and Pats and Rovers and Drogheda.
Shells, Pats, and Rovers. Drogheda. So there, you're talking potentially more drop points with a game in hand.
Two draws there will be what you're looking at. Yeah, absolutely. As I said, the more points, the more drop points for the lot of them, the better.
Yeah, so hopefully that can tick away. Again, you'd imagine Derry and Pats Ian will take up the other two spots in the top four.
Well, you'd imagine so, but you've got a transfer window in the middle of all this, and like you saw last year, what can happen with a couple of like draw the season was transformed in the window last year. So, like you'd imagine, there'll be a couple of teams there that will have the finances to do a bit of business during the summer. Some won't, but looks I don't imagine Shells, unless they let a few go, are gonna have much headroom for getting much business done in the summer. Whereas you'd like to think the likes of ourselves, and Rovers and Derry certainly will, but the likes of ourselves, that we should be able to strengthen in a couple of areas there in the summer.
Yeah.
And like there's loans to come and go. There's lads that are on loan doing well that might have to go back. And like you've got Galway, they've Cian Bourne there. I think he'll be back at Bowes, so they're going to lose him. And you have other players with other clubs, with players on loan from England. We're going to lose Graham. There's going to be a bit of movement there. And like this window here, you can't change it. Like it's not like England in January where there's not really much movement here. There's a lot of lads out of contract in England and Scotland and in the north. And you have English clubs looking to get young players out on loan and lads coming back from injury and stuff. So I think. Like anyone who gets that piece right in the summer will be in good shape. There's not many games to go now until that window, so
Yeah, I think we've got what's it, the 4th of July, isn't it?
I think it's the 4th of July, yeah.
4th of July. So I think realistically at this age, I said we have to give the Moose 6 weeks. I think we still have to give him 6 weeks to start doing something of substance. I know we got the winner, but he has to be getting more minutes if he's not up and cutting and running by the 4th of July. I think you should think about getting someone else in because he should be up and running by July.
Could be looking to get someone else in regardless, like you know, and really add to it and really go for it why that's there. It's on the table for us. You know, we might get a better chance of getting into Europe, so I think we should be adding to the squad regardless of whether Moose is fit. Cian Bourne will come back, I presume, will he? Or is that a season long loan or
Well, it's on the loan's only until June, so I don't know if it's been any discussions about extending that, but I don't think with Graham going back, Bowes would be mad keen to extend that and strengthen Galway. Obviously, they're a direct rival of ours now as well, so I see him slotting right back in there. He's a real option for centre back if we get him back.
I think the only thing he's been playing more of a midfield position, really, hasn't he? With Galway, there's been any.
They play three at the back, Galway, don't they? So he's kind of right of a three, I think he was playing.
I think he's
Oh,
playing centre defensive mid as well for a while.
yeah,
He's
good
playing in
player.
front of the back four.
He
As
has,
is.
yeah. I haven't seen any Galway games where obviously he's not allowed to play against us, so I haven't actually seen him play in that position. But like to me, he's a centre back. He's a good centre back as well. I was actually surprised we let him go, but obviously we couldn't carry too many players either. But he's one I could see that we could slot straight back in as a good option there at centre back because like it's a bit of a worry now. Graham gone. Like, what is the pairing going to be there when he goes? Like, Friday's his last game.
Lacey's not back for another, I think it's 11 or 12 weeks.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's been a disaster.
Cavan, I think, is back in a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks.
Having on the bench last week. He was in the squad, was he?
Was he? I'm not too sure. Maybe he's back now. I did hear last week that it was going to be another couple of weeks before he was up and running as such.
I think maybe if we could fix the left back position in the window, I think you could see Flores as a good option there at centre back. Like, anytime he's slotted in there, I've been impressed with him at centre back. He reads the game well, and if you put someone with a bit of mobility beside him there, he's a good centre half, left minded centre half. It
I
would
think he's been impressive left back as well, you know,
be. He's
for
very good left
yeah,
full. I think he's a
he
good
has,
option.
yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy enough with him there, left full at the minute, to be honest.
Simon Moran, right back. He's
Moran's a
done give
brilliant
the
right full.
yeah.
Ah, fantastic.
I think Moran is the right full now. I think they're happy with settled with him there, and we have options in midfield. But I think left back they'd rather get Flores out of there. Like I think he's more benefit to us, either in the midfield or as a centre half. So I'd say Nutsy's working his magic trying to get us a left back. I hope.
There is a bit of a
Information.
correlation there, you know, since Morahan, not to say that he was the reason, but since he came out of that midfield and, you know, McManus has stepped in, that's sort of when the results started to shift a little bit, I think.
Martin, brilliant at right full. He gets us playing. Like he's up and down, and his distribution is really, really good. I wanted to touch on him. He's been fantastic. A real, real asset now going forward. Like,
And there's no silly fouls, doesn't he? Very rarely fouls. I don't think he's got a yellow card since he's come to us. And doesn't really give the ball away. He's not the biggest, but he doesn't get bullied by wingers. I've been really impressed with him there.
solid. Yeah,
Right
absolutely.
back.
Yeah, well, a couple of players be impressed as well. The pairing, they're not going to get broken up. Cornwell and Gretton, that experience and the bit of youth seems to be working
Yeah.
side by side. I think Cornwell's a lot of people question him whether he's going to be good enough when he comes back, but he probably hasn't put a foot wrong really since that goal again.
No. Flip against Shell, but I mean that can happen to anyone. But yeah, he's been really good, really solid. Winning the headers, he should be winning, like, you know, and getting us playing as well. So he's been really good.
Yeah, and he's probably what we needed, you know, them games last year when he wasn't playing, or even the longs last year. You
Yeah.
know, the games where we were letting goals in last minute and it's been us conceding and tough to soft show at the back. You know, him and Bucko back in the middle. I know Bucko probably hasn't featured as much, but he's been coming on in games and seeing games out. The two of them are probably massive part at this point.
Yeah. Bucko's brilliant to bring into a game, isn't he? Like, whether you're chasing the game or whether you want to slow the game down or you know, just get him to dictate. He's been super when he came on, like all the games. Great against Shells. Great when he came on against Rovers. Just a really, really good option to bring off the bench. I never thought I'd say that about Bucko, but you don't associate him with him being an impact player, but he really has that kind of influence when he comes on.
Yeah, he brings it in the intensity of it, brings up the
Yeah.
intensity of the game when we're chasing it. As you said, when we're sort of winning, he sort of likes to slow it down and controls it. So I think that's probably going to be his position now. It's not what he would have wanted.
No.
Where his future lies, maybe, I don't know. We're going into
Well, I
next
think with
season.
the type of injury he's had and the age he is, that's the limit what we're going to get with Bucko now. Like that, this league is relentless. Like the games, and they're all tough games. Like the days of Bucko starting in the centre of our midfield week in, week out, they're gone. But as you say, he's a great man to slot in for specific games or in specific moments of games, getting them on. Like he just changes the dynamic of the game when you can bring him in. So hopefully we can keep him fit enough to do that for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and another midfielder, I suppose we'll touch on Devoy. Probably pulled up his socks the last few weeks. He seems to be. I remember I was looking around that Sligo game when we conceded the second goal to go 2-all at home. I remember looking at the team and went, "No, there's not a fucking leader in there. Every single one of them are fucking cowards. They're all heads down. Nobody's doing. I can't see anyone grabbing the game by the scruff here." But I think Devoy probably was that man that second half that pulled it up, and I think since then he's probably been our best midfielder in terms of, you know, dragging us up in a bit of leadership.
Everything's forward with him, everything's positive with him, you know. Whereas there after the season, everything was safe, everything was back out to the left full, back out to the right full, give it to the centre half, get it back, slow it down. Now he's getting the ball with real purpose. He's driving, dribbling with the ball more than I've ever seen him dribble with the ball. He's playing forward passes, he's trying to play incisive passes. He's like a different player. It's like the energy of the team has changed and he's changed with it, and he's been fantastic last few games. Again, looking forward to seeing him again on Friday against Derry. Really, really enjoyable watching him at the minute, like.
He's the heartbeat of the team, all right. Yeah, like kind of everything goes through him. He plays 90 minutes most weeks, and
Always book.
hopefully he doesn't end up in Tala like the rest of them. He's the type of player they love out there. But like he's a fantastic player. He can get into any team in the league.
And he's never injured either. I don't think he's missed a game since he's been back. Bar a couple of suspensions, I don't think.
Couple of suspensions. He loves the
Don't
yellow
mention the
card.
suspension. The
He loves
famous
the yellow
suspension.
card. Him and Tierney love a
Yeah.
yellow card. But
Yeah.
looking at the team
Sure,
ahead then.
he even played when he was suspended.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's still a challenge that they're going to the district
I
court
see.
now. Went from can you dish it? Oh, stop. But yeah, looking ahead to Friday, I can't see the back four changing. Gretton, Cornwell, Flores, Morahan, and I can't see much changing at all. Maybe the wingers might mix it up a bit. Maybe see the return of the Moose, wherever he is or isn't.
We have to track him down first.
Yeah.
The Moose is on the loose.
He is
Yeah.
indeed.
Chance of taking that, right? Yeah. More chance of finding Dave Rotwell and Talla than you do the Moose.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so it'd be interesting to see, but what do you think is going to happen Friday? How do you expect the game to pan out?
listen, I'm not gonna try and get too bullish about Bode beating Derry, but listen, let's play as we did last week. Let's just be a little bit more clever in terms of front of goal. Let's be a bit calmer in front of goal and take a few of our chances. If we do that, we'll be thereabouts, you know.
Yeah, Hopkins, what do you make?
I think like it's important we don't lose. Like it'd been awful after the run we've been on to go into the break on the back of two defeats will be a real, that'll be a real killer. So like Derry are playing quite well. Like I'd like to think we'll win, but I wouldn't be too disappointed with a draw either. We're gonna have to draw eventually. You can't continue to go through the whole season without a draw. So it's gonna come eventually, and this wouldn't be the worst week to pick up the draw. So look, yeah, hopefully we'll be able
Yeah,
to
as you said,
get a
it's
draw.
important that some of these defeats. I mean, Waterford, we were probably well worth a draw. Rather, we were well worth a draw as well. So we need to start being able to picking up these draws from losing positions, and it's all points on the board at the end of the day. So, yeah, pick up the draws when we can instead of the 1-0 reverses.
Yeah, again, Derry Duffy, I was looking today at the League of Ireland page at something up. Duffy and Pat Hubin's record against us. Both of them have nearly got one and two.
Phenomenal.
Like ridiculous. Absolutely tortured us over the years.
Hoban at Dundalk just score against Bows for fun, like.
Jeez, the goal celebration music
Yeah,
in Ireland
no.
Park.
Remember the day they
I
bet us in
hear
the League Cup
it,
semi-final?
it's
They bet us
six
8-0
nil.
or something. And
Five
the
one or
song was just
something.
on for the whole 90 minutes.
It's on a loop.
The
Tannoy that it's old as time.
Oh, Christ. Two both buses, they both arrived at half time, and I think we were 6-0 down.
Oh, Jesus. I think we should have just bought him just so he couldn't score against us
Yeah,
anymore. Put him on the
oh,
bench.
painful, painful.
Well, in fairness, we wanted to go one in from last season. I think we were looking at it. And he opted with Derry, obviously, the money spoke. But it hasn't really done too much for the meter. He hasn't been, even this year, I don't think he's in the team too much, in terms of
He's
getting
not going to
goals.
press. He's not going to cover the yard anymore. Like he's a lot of the teams in the league, they're all hard working. I don't think it fits the bill for a lot of the teams, you know.
Yeah, I think the Astro as well up there. You need to be able to get about up there. It probably doesn't suit him, but look, he knows where the goal is if he gets the
Yeah.
chance.
Yeah, so look, I think never easy to be confident saying balls are going to beat Derry at any stage, particularly at home. But I do fancy us come out here 2-1 winners. I think if we can, for once, get the first boxy goal in the match, I think it will go a long way rather than chasing our tail once more. But we only got 1-0. Hopefully, Coddy Whelan and can maybe get a goal
Nice one
against
from
his
wouldn't
old
it? Score
club.
against Derry, yeah. After being up there for so long, yeah, it'd be nice from the.
As you said, Hopkins, he's only scored in two games all season, really isn't good enough. I know he's been, dampened with injuries and he's been stop starting, but the end of the day, he needs to start scoring goals. That's his job. Like, he's not a striker that's holding up the ball too much. He's not bullying centre halves. He hasn't got the pace in behind. He seems to be a fox in the box kind of player. So he needs to start putting the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry, all right. But I don't think anyone's too disappointed with how Whelan is playing. Like, I think the Moose has obviously been a bit of a disappointment for everyone. But Whelan, when he has been on the pitch, like he's grafting. He looks like he has a goal in him. Like he's been close a few times as well. He hit the post there on Friday night. And he's probably a streaky player. I think if he got one, he could go on a run. So I wouldn't be writing him off yet. But I think he'll start him on Friday. I think he'll start Whelan and hopefully a goal from him Friday.
Yeah, and
I think his
Hopkins
all-round
scored.
play has been good. Like Talla obviously been the standout. He changed the game in Talla, and he was picking the ball up in good areas on Friday night and linking the game. I think he's right in what he's saying. I think if he gets one, that might kick him on, but probably be a good time to start.
He might give Brennan a game, I think, Friday. I think they're not the youngest. They're an experienced back four, but maybe his legs going at them. He might. I think Brennan might get a start on this week. Could be the game for him.
Yeah, it's pausing. I get just to put a figure down on the full time score.
Well, I'm gonna be realistic and say 1-1. I think we'll late Bowes equaliser, 1-1.
First draw of the season, Pete.
2-1 balls.
2-1 Bowes.
And no drum in the F and G, please.
No drum in the F and G.
That's the
I'm not gonna be an
request from the
old
masses.
lad. I'm not gonna be the old lad who gives out about young people at football games with drums and stuff. So look.
No bucket hats, no drums, no megaphones.
Yeah, just Coke and
Plenty of
Pilsner
we've been loud enough for 30-odd years without drums and megaphones, so
and terrible song choices, you
I
know.
don't mind the terrible song choice.
What happened
That's
to
fine,
sing?
but leave the drums at home, boys.
What happened to songs about Joseph Fritzl and Half Shag to Death Polar Bears? Now we're going for 80s remixes that are awful,
Can you
but
hear the drum from can you hear the drum from the bar, Pete?
Fair, I
I'll
don't
tell
think
you
it's
Friday.
Yeah, I think we just have like having a little dig, but there's no menace in it. Just more to annoy them more than anything else.
No drumming section, eh? Anyway, that's for sure.
Absolutely not. No, the rebels. The rebels will win,
Section A
Pete. The rebels will
separatists.
win. The
Oh, great.
Oh, stop. So look, lads. Pete, you're saying what's the full time score?
2-1 balls.
2-1 Bowes and Hopkins. Bowes.
I'm going for the first draw of the season, 1-1.
First draw of the season, but where do Bowes end up in the second week of November? What's the position and is there a trophy haul?
Euthanasia balls.
I think we're gonna finish toward Europe. We're on the way.
Europe, and is there a possibility of a cup being?
The cup could be. I think I've had my heart broken with the cup, but we'll leave the cup alone this year and just
Yeah,
concentrate
pull it
getting us
over.
back into Europe.
Yeah, I suppose last time we lost the cup, we fled the country a week later. So,
Any correlation between the two?
the most definite correlation, you know, apparently in Switzerland you need medical reasons to end it all, but so just decided to differ down to South America for a few months to lay low. Anyway, man, thanks very much for your time this week, and hopefully we get back to winning ways. And as we do always every week, come on the fucking balls.
Up
Come
the
on, balls.
balls into the.